I'm so glad to be with you here today, Saints. And we want to welcome in the radio. We want to welcome in video. We're doing this thing today, and we hope to get more people served and more people opportunity to hear the good news, the word of the Lord today. And we're using two different platforms, and plus we'll get the audio recording out of it and the video recording out of it. Now, God is good, and we are growing, and we are growing because you are supporting this ministry so that we could get the word of God out, because people are hungry and thirsty to hear the word of God. Yes, we like to be entertained, but we are hungry and thirsty for what the Bible says about different circumstances and different situations that we might find ourselves in. So, today we are gathered together and we are going to study Christian character traits. Now, this will be the conclusion of a series that we've had going now for quite some time. And you could look back over to previous messages on the Christian character traits, but you don't have to start from the beginning. Each one of these will stand alone, and we're going to get right in it right after we pray. Pray with me, will you? Dear Lord, we thank you and we praise you and we give you honor to your name. We ask that you would join us today as we teach your word. You have said if you be lifted up, you will draw all manner of men unto you. And Father, we are just standing as a voice crying out in the wilderness, trying to prepare a way for the Lord. Father, we operate and we work in a world that is hurting and dying and just really hungry and thirsty and malnourished of your word. So, Father, we hope that we, by your anointing, can feed your sheep, can give them the clean and pure word of God, and let you guide them into all truth. Father, we ask that you prepare our hearts, you prepare our minds to deliver and to receive the word of God. And once received, that we will act on it with the spirit that we received it. Now, Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen and amen. All right, folks, I do know that you have your Bibles with you, because you don't come to Bible study without your Bible. You don't come to hear the word of the Lord without the word of the Lord. So, you have your Bibles with you. Go ahead and be turning to Galatians 5, 24 through 25. Galatians 5, 24 through 25. Today, we are concluding a series on Christian character traits. Traits that you should have within yourself. Traits that you should teach and put into your children so that they might seek to have these traits as well. Traits that when the world looks upon us, they can see and they can tell that there is something different going on in us as opposed to what may be going on in the world. Traits that make us look like Christ, rather than looking like the world. So you have your Bible, you have your notepad, you have your pen, and you are ready. Say amen. Go ahead, say amen. All right, good. Now, here we go. Galatians 5, 24 and 25. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So there you have the first Bible verse, and what character trait are we getting at? We're getting at self-control. Self-control versus self-indulgence. And what we're looking for here is instant obedience to the initial prompting of God's Spirit. Instant obedience to the initial promptings of God's Spirit. Why? Because the Bible tells us, and they that are Christ have been crucified, have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So we are living a life that is Spirit-led, living a life that is Spirit-full. That's if we say we're in Christ, and that means Christ is in us, and we have accepted him into our hearts, and we have to allow God to live through us, then a character trait we're going to exhibit is going to be self-control, as opposed to self-indulgence. We're not in this thing to see what we can get. We're not into this thing to see what we can get out of this thing. We're not into this thing just for gimme, gimme, gimme. See, when we pray, we don't lead out with, Lord, I need, Lord, give me. We lead out with, thank you, Lord, and Lord, please forgive me. We give him praise, we give him honor for who he is and what he's already done in our life. And we look for his direction to see what direction he is having us to go in our lives. Self-control. When the flesh in us wants to lash out at somebody, when the flesh in us wants us to grab a hold of somebody, we have self-control, and we know not to lay hands on somebody quickly. We know not to lay hands on somebody in anger. We know not to go after somebody just because our emotions have led us that way. We have self-control. We look to see what God would have us to do. We look to see what the godly thing to do. We operate on godly principles and godly actions, godly values. We operate in righteousness. We operate in holiness. We operate in godliness, not in self-centeredness. Not in humanness. I hear way too many times, well, God knows my heart. Well, you know, I'm only human. Well, and you know, we just give all these excuses and all this justification for doing things in the flesh. If you are of Christ, live in the Spirit, operate in the Spirit, operate under self-control. Well, we started out real strong and hard on that one. You stick with me because we got several of them to go through, and we are going to bless you today because God wants to bless you. God wants to give you a sense of obedience so you have a sense of victory. So at the end of this race, when all is said and done, he will say unto you, well done, my good and faithful servant, enter in to thy reward. Now turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12, verse 15. Romans chapter 12, verse 15. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Now, this characteristic trait is going to be sensitivity. Sensitivity versus callousness. We want to be sensitive to what our brothers and sisters are going through, sensitive to the needs of those around us, sensitive to the needs of others. Exercising my senses so that I can perceive the true spirit and emotions of those around me. You see, many people, they have been trained to you, you say, well, how are you today? And they say, oh, I'm fine, thank you. Or, oh, I'm blessed of the Lord. And really, that's just empty, because underneath they are hurting. Underneath they are going through struggles. Underneath they are they're dying inside. And what they really want is somebody to be sensitive enough to really pursue them and to let them know, you know, I sense, I perceive that maybe it's not really going well with you. I'd like to pray with you about your need. Is there any way that I could be of support to you? What might I do to help you in your current situation? See, we have to be sensitive what they're not telling us. We have to live of the Spirit and in the Spirit. And the Spirit lets us know when a brother or sister is aching. When we walk in sensitivity to the needs of a brother, of a sister, you know, we are better able to minister to them. We're not callous. We're not aloof. We're not uncaring. You see, we're sensitive. We're looking for ways and places to show God's love. So we rejoice with them who rejoice, and we weep with them who weep. In this day, we have many people stressing over many things in their life. We have people who are dealing with the loss of loved ones. We have people dealing with catastrophic illnesses. We have people dealing with memories of past chaos in their lives. On this particular day, we have the anniversary of the incident of September 11th, and there are many people who are troubled and wondering, is this an inside job? Is this a real attack of the enemy? Who is the enemy? Where is this coming from? And we need to be sensitive to the people around us. This gives us an opportunity to serve them. It gives us an opportunity to pray for them. It gives us an opportunity to walk beside them and to come along with them and lead them into the peace of Almighty God. God wants to use us, His people. He wants to use us to care for others of His people. He wants to use us as a marketing piece for why people should live this Christian life. So be sensitive to what God is trying to do through you. Be sensitive to the emotions and to the needs of others whose lives God has put you in. Okay, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter 1, verse 22. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Now, I want you definitely to write that one down so you can read that in context so you can see the fullness of what the Lord is trying to say through Peter right there. But in the meantime, I want to share with you this Christian characteristic. Sincerity versus hypocrisy. Sincerity versus hypocrisy. Eagerness to do what is right. Transparent motives. I like that. Eagerness to do what is right with transparent motives. See, you got to be sincere. Now that takes me back to an old play we did back in high school, an old musical play, Bye Bye Birdie, where the star of the show, he's saying, well, you got to be sincere. Now, folks in my age group, you remember that, and maybe it puts a smile on your face like it puts a smile on my face, but the whole idea is people are tired of phonies. People are tired of fakes. People are tired of hypocrites. People are tired of hypocrisy. If you're going to say you're a Christian, then show some love to your brothers. Show some love to your enemy. I'm not saying let everything just go without challenging and without testing. I'm saying show some love. I'm saying be sincere. Don't be fake. Don't be a phony. Don't be puff shirt. Don't be pious. You want to do what's right because it's right, not because somebody might see you and the effects of being caught being wrong. You want to do it because it's right. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. This is not just a passing, how you doing, brother? This is a sincere, brother, I want to know how you're doing. I sense something's troubling you. I want to minister to you. Tell me how I can minister to you. Let me in, brother. Keep knocking on the door to your brother. Maybe you haven't paid the emotional rent for that brother to trust you, excuse me, with their pain. Maybe they've been hurt so much by others that they trusted that they're having trouble letting you in. But when you show your sincerity and you show the love of Christ through you, the walls come down and we're able to better minister to those who need ministry. People are hurting. People are dying. People are sick. People are sick and tired of reaching out and only getting some phony. Oh, be blessed in the Lord. No, when people tell you they need you, when people humble themselves and robe and come to you naked and let you know they are in need instead of putting on their best foot forward and never opening up, you need to be sincere about your desire and willingness to minister to them. Don't just give them some ready-made Bible verse. That's not going to meet their need. Yes, you want to get the word into them, but you want to meet their need. You want to show them how their need can be met. You want to do the work of the ministry as opposed to just putting it off on someone else, as opposed to just trying to build up their faith. Put some effort to it. Put some sincerity in it. Be eager to do what's right. Eager to be transparent in your motives. You want your motives to be pure. You want to serve people just out of your love for the Lord, which makes you have a love for them. It's not a whole lot of sincerity today. Or say anything to get what they want. People will just fake and phony up to you. People will pretend. Well, see, that's where that sensitivity comes in at. We have to be sensitive to the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit, who will tell us which way to go and how to go. We want to be sincere so people can tell it. People can tell when you're sincere. People can tell when you're open and honest and loving and when your heart is right to them. Turn in your Bibles to Proverbs 18, verse 15. Proverbs 18, verse 15. The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. The character trait that we're looking at is thoroughness versus incompleteness. Thoroughness versus incompleteness. Knowing what factors will diminish the effectiveness of my work or words if neglected. You see, we have to have a sense of thoroughness and not do things halfway. We must look into a thing. We must study a thing. We must root out a thing instead of just go off half-cocked. We must earnestly seek out the word of truth. We must seek out the word of God. We must earnestly seek out the spirit of truth that will guide us into all things, a knowledge of truth, but not only a knowledge of truth, but wisdom to know what to do with the truth. We don't want just a half truth. We don't want to believe a lie. We want to study it out. We want to be thorough in our approach to seeking knowledge. We don't want to just hear from the left. We don't want to just hear from the right. We want to hear from the Lord above. And we want to make clear in what is right and what is holy and what is good with our knowledge. We need to know where the information is coming from so that we know how reliable the information is. Because although some people have a really good argument, the argument is based on fallacy, on false things, on a false deck of cards and you pull one card out, the whole thing falls down because the foundation of a thing is not solid. It's not based in truth. And so it does not work when you apply the basis of logic to it. So there's a lot of people around here trying to sound very intellectual, trying to sound so pseudo-smart, pseudo-intelligence, like they know something about something, but don't just receive it, get references. Look it up for yourself. This is why I tell you, when you come to my Bible study, when you come to hear my teaching, when you come to hear me preaching, bring a notepad, bring your Bible, bring a pen so you can take notes, so you can root it out, so you can study and show yourself approved and make sure that the word you are getting is in fact the word of God and not just an opinion of some other mouth. God wants you to know the truth, because the truth that you know shall set you free. You need to be free today, free from the things that are holding you back from getting to the promised land, from getting to what God has for you, from getting to your reward. You have things that are holding you back. You have beliefs that are holding you back. You have some knowledge of something that is not really knowledge at all. You know, somebody's giving you some facts that led you down a road that is not the right road, and it does not add up to truth, and you have bought into it. Some of your emotional ties, your emotional baggage has kept you from the truth. So you need to get yourself thoroughness and a complete study of the things that are important to you so that you can live God-filled. You can be a testimony and a witness of the things of God. The word of truth is part of the armor of God. And you need to thoroughly search out the truth so that you can be an awesome soldier fit for the battle of God. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 16 and verse 11. Luke chapter 16. In verse 11. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? What's our Christian character trait? Well, our Christian character trait right here is thriftiness. Thriftiness versus extravagance. Thriftiness versus extravagance. Not letting myself or others spend that which is not necessary. You see, we live in a day and age that we want what we want. We want it now. And we don't put up for tomorrow. We just, everything that we get, we spend. If we want it, we're not very thrifty. If we can get something for $5, we don't look to get the best deal. We don't look to get the bargain. We just spend money like it's going out of style. We, run out to eat and we pay vast monies to eat the poisons that these people have instead of cooking a nice meal at home. We buy cars that, you know, make us feel good about who we are, give us status and position when, you know, another car will do. We're not very thrifty. Sometimes we live way well over our means. And oftentimes it's to puff ourselves up. It's to impress our neighbors. Or it's to, you know, give us status or something. But the Bible tells us right here, if you're not faithful with things such as unrighteous mammon, which is money, the world's goods, who will commit to trust you with true riches? The soul of a child. The soul of a neighbor who's downtrodden. The Bible tells us, don't store up down here things that are going to die out, things that are going to go old, things that are going to get moldy and just be no good. But store up your treasures in heaven where they will be eternal. So many of us are, you know, we working so we can get money so we can pay bills. And we forget about furthering the gospel. We forget about taking our 10% and putting it into the storehouse. We forget about giving the offerings. We forget about taking care of the poor and needy amongst us. Because we're too busy getting, and making ourselves comfortable, satisfied, and fat with luxury. You're getting, get some knowledge. And you're getting, get some wisdom. That God tell you what is the best use and purpose for the resources he has blessed you with. Because how will he trust you with really important things? True riches, he can't trust you with the things of this world. Who can get the most out of what God has given? Who can do the most with their talents? You remember the story of the talents and how God gave certain one certain talent, and one man took his talent and hid and gave the master back exactly what the master gave him, and he did not make good of the talent. And God took that talent and gave it to the one who multiplied what God gave to him. You want to use your gifts. You want to use your talents. You want to use your resources to further the kingdom of God. You want to be a blessing where a blessing is needed. Don't be selfish. Don't be self-centered. Don't be stuck on yourself, but be sensitive to the needs of others. Be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit, and be thrifty. You can do a whole lot more with what you have if you go with the guiding and leading of the Spirit of God, what to do with what you have. Turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 2. Philippians 2, verse 2. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Christian character trait, tolerance versus prejudice. Tolerance versus prejudice. Acceptance of others as unique expressions of specific character qualities in varying degrees of maturity. Now, see, a lot of people, they want to take the Bible and they want to use it for what they want it to say. And I don't want anybody to take my words out of context when I use the word tolerance versus prejudice, because tolerance does not mean tolerating just any kind of thing. We have a standard of righteousness. We have a standard of holiness. We have a standard of excellence and godliness that we must hold people to. And not only people, but ourselves. In fact, that standard is for ourselves. And of course, if we have responsibilities over others, we must call them to the same level. If we have responsibilities to a brother, to a sister, yes, we must hold them to the same level. But this tolerance is a tolerant as in not being prejudiced. You know, we look at people and we prejudge them. We look at people from our bias, and we don't allow them to be what God would have them to be. In other words, somebody that you might have known back 10, 15, 20 years ago, before God made a change in their life, you know, they might be changed. They might be on fire for God now, but you are prejudiced because you knew them back when, and you won't let them be who they are in Christ today because of your memory of who they were then. You don't have tolerance for that. You don't have tolerance for their passage. You don't have tolerance for their journey to Christ. What about your journey to Christ? Did you come out of the womb perfect? Did you come out, or did you have mature? There are people who are in the process of maturation. Now, if you are mature, then I don't have to tell you this because you already know that not everybody is where you are. Now, like I say, we're not being tolerant of sin. We're not being tolerant of ungodliness. We are being tolerant of the person while we train and give correction and give discipline and give discipleship so they can grow into that person that God would have them to become. And we will do this in love, after being sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit and to where this person is, after showing our sincerity and wanting to develop them and train them and see them in their spiritual formation process. See, we don't want to say, oh, that's a rich man. Since it's a rich man, he doesn't care anything about me. We don't want to let our prejudices get in the way of our loving folks and our holding people accountable to what God would have them to be. People have unique expressions. People have specific character qualities and varying degrees of maturity. Not everybody is where we are. You know, as we raise children, we expect different things of our children at different ages. As we walk with other Christians and other believers, we expect different things out of people at different stages in their Christian walk. We tolerate them as where they are. The Bible says in one place, you know, don't reject them, brother or sister, because they're not a thumb. And it might be a pinky, but the whole body is needed to do this work. The whole body is needed to bring in this harvest. Not everybody has the same gifts. Not everybody has the same character traits. We should all develop Christian character traits, but you know, not everybody has the same personality. Not everybody is exactly like you. See, our standard is not you. Our standard is Jesus. So we want to operate with tolerance, understanding that people are at different maturity levels and we mature at different rates in Christ. Turning your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Next character trait, very important to the Christian, truthfulness versus deception. Earning future trust by accurately reporting past facts. Wow, that's strong right there. See, sometimes in this secular world, we have to earn and develop trust, especially when trust has been broken, whether we have broken it or others before us have broken the trust. So we live in a world where people are skeptical. We live in a world where people are apt to believe a lie rather than believe a truth. We live in a world to where people want to hear what they want to hear. They don't necessarily want to believe the truth. What we need to do is we need to live a life. We need to develop a sense of character where people expect truthfulness from us, where people hear us. And they have no reason to doubt us because we have built up a reputation that says this person is honest. This person is truthful. They would rather hurt you with a truth than mislead you with a lie. You see, people need to know they can trust you. And how do people know that they can trust you? By the word of your mouth and by your actions supporting the word of your mouth. See, in order to have trust, you have to show yourself trustworthy. You know, you want to think that others, you must earn the trust of others where you put your trust in God. And he lets you know and gives you discernment of whom you can trust. And when you accurately report past facts, then people start to believe, wow, he said this and that was really true. So people know that they can believe you when you say something, which is a blessing in this day and age when people are full of themselves. When people are full of self-indulgence, they have no control. They are full of hypocrisy. They will say things in order to get what they want, and you cannot believe them. So, you want to put away lying. You know, if that's something that you do, stop it. It's not good. God looks very badly upon lying and liars. You should not support a liar. You should not call a truth a lie. You should be honest in your reporting of facts. You should be honest in your characterization of other people. You know the Ten Commandments says, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy brother. And some of us will do that just to get what we want, just to try to prove a point. We will make somebody look bad so that we don't look as bad. We will make somebody look bad so that somebody else might look a little better or a little less bad. We might try to deflect the attention off of ourselves by lying on someone else. Well, that is not godly. That is not how we walk in righteousness. That is not how we walk in holiness. The Bible says, put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. Speak truth with your neighbor. Let your neighbor know the truth. The truth shall set you free. Don't despise the truth. Just because the truth might contradict what you believe, just because the truth might contradict your bias, just because the truth might hurt your cause, maybe you have the wrong cause. Maybe you are being self-centered and not Christ-centered. Maybe you are not being led by the Holy Spirit. Maybe you need to change. Let's go to our next verse, which is 2 Peter, 1st chapter, verse 3. 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 3. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Now, what is our character trait? Character trait is virtue versus impurity. Virtue versus impurity. The moral excellence and purity of spirit that radiate from my life as I obey God's word can look at you and they can feel, they can sense, they can get witness of the Spirit of God that is within you if you are being sincere. The Spirit of God gives witness to your spirit in their spirit. And you need the moral excellence. See, you got to have this, you got to operate in excellence. Excellence is always getting better, getting closer, and doing the best you can possibly do with what you have, and seeking to get more of what you need so that you can do better, going from glory to glory to glory. There's a higher standard when you believe in Christ. There's a higher standard when you call yourself a Christian. There's a higher standard when you want to see Jesus. You can't live like the rest of the world lives. You can't live in the flesh. You got to live in spirit if you want to see Jesus. If you want your reward in the end of times, if you want to live eternally with Jesus, you got to live like Jesus lives in you. You got to have virtue to impurity. So many of us are so comfortable with sin in our lives. So many of us are so comfortable living below the standard of excellence. So many of us are so comfortable making excuses and justifying our weaknesses. We are not striving for and living a life of excellence. We're not striving for and living a life of holiness. We're not striving for and living a life of righteousness. We're not striving for and living up according to our calling, the high calling of godliness. Why? Because we are too comfortable with impurity. The Bible says, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. You see, we have been called to glory and virtue. We have been called to a life of godliness. And he has given us everything that we need to live a life of godliness. There is no excuse for the believer filled with the Holy Ghost to excuse bad behavior. There is no reason for it. You've got to hold yourself up to the godly standard. You got to hold yourself up to a standard of godliness. You got to walk with people that are going to hold you to the standard that you know you should be held to. You should not walk with people that walk around with a different standard. You got to come out from amongst them. There's an old adage that says you can't play around all day with buzzards and then soar with the eagles. That's not how this works. You got to set your sights on things above. You got to set your sights on the Lord above and his ways. His ways are higher than our ways. Live a life of virtue. Live a life of character. Live a life of doing good because it's good. Live a life of doing right because it's right. Live a life of righteousness because your God is righteous. Now let's finish up with Proverbs 9 in verse 10. Proverbs 9 in verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Let me read that again. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. What's our next and final character trait? Wisdom. Wisdom versus natural inclinations. Seeing and responding to life situations from God's frame of reference. This is so important, church. Because we live in a secular world. We live in a world that is ungodly. We live in a country that is ungodly. We live amongst people that are ungodly. We live in homes that are ungodly. We live in a time of ungodliness. People do not want godliness. People reject righteousness. People reject holiness. People discourage excellence. And we have to do something about it. We've got to come together as a church and say we will elevate our standards. We will live in excellence. We will strive for godliness. We will strive for holiness. We will not accept anything that is not in his righteousness. And that is the standard we will hold ourselves to personally. Now, in order to do this, this takes wisdom. And the Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask for it. And God will give it to him. Right now, if you need to make a decision, if you need to make a choice that is very important, that could be life changing, you need to ask for wisdom, and the Lord says he will give it to you. Right now, as you live your life and you're wondering what to do and you're struggling with this decision and that decision and which way to turn and which way to go and how to do, what to do, and why to do, ask the Lord for wisdom and he will give it to you. Ask the Lord where he wants you to be, what he wants you to do, who he wants you to do it with, and the wisdom to do it, and he will give it to you. The Serenity Prayer says, help me to change the things that I could change and to know the difference of the things that I could change and the things I can't change. Lord, give us wisdom today. If you need wisdom today, ask and he shall give it to you. Not your natural inclinations. Too many times we want to say, well, this is just me. This is how I do it. We wanna say, it's because of my ethnicity. It's because I'm German. It's because I'm Italian. It's because I'm Puerto Rican. It's because I'm this, I'm that. That's my Irish temper. No, church. You got to have godliness inside you. You got to have the Spirit of God inside you. So when things come on you, you have God and God enough to shake them off. You can have God speaking into your ear, giving you wisdom on how to react to a certain thing. And, you know, if you seeking God and his wisdom, he may keep you from them things in the first place. Now, God is such a good and holy God. We need to seek his wisdom. We need to seek his face. We need to seek his voice and his words amongst us. And God will give us grace to fight and to operate with the enemy and amongst the enemy. Now listen, church. As we always say, and as we've said clearly, these character traits are character traits that you need to strive for. These are Christian character traits. Traits, when people see these in you, they know that you're a Christian. They want to have what you have when you exhibit these traits, because these traits are spiritual, these traits are godly, and these traits are different than how people react and respond in the flesh. So we want you to look at your life and look at these traits and ask God to forgive you for not extra stress, to forgive you for negative exercise, and to fill you afresh and anew with his Holy Spirit, and to guide in all truth with wisdom, to give you the power to walk this life in godliness. And pray. Dear Lord, thank you for the word gone today. Thank you for the ears that are to hear your word. Thank you for the heart who have been prepared and softened to hear your word. Thank you for those right now who are turning from the wicked way and turning to seek your face. Lord, I need wisdom. Lord, I need to be cleansed. Lord, I need to change my ways. Lord, I need to be a Christian, and I need it in my heart. I need it in my head. I need it in my lifestyle. I want to be Christ-like. I want to walk like you walked. I want to do how you tell me to do. I want to be obedient to your word. Father, we ask right now that you bring the backslider back to you, that you bring the lost into the kingdom, that you let them ask, what must I do to be saved? And Father, that you will save them, and that you will restore them and renew them to righteousness. Father, I ask that you give them peace, and I ask that you give them joy in the Holy Ghost. Thank you for being with me today. Thank you for allowing me to speak the word of God into your heart. Say, God bless you.